Hello and welcome to Any Given Sunday, the Sam Sports Network NFL podcast. I'm Sam Vetterman. Well, you expected me to be here, but I'm not sure if you expected Charlie Cooper to be here, my friend from my school. We start school tomorrow, and Charlie, what do you have to say? Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk football for an hour.
Well, we're going to talk football for an hour, that's for certain, but I'm not sure if it's going to... I'm not sure how vague football is, and we're definitely going to be talking off the field stuff. Let's start today's episode with contracts. But before we get to that, let's talk about something. Charlie, you've been working on logos for our podcast. Is that correct?
I'm going to get those to you soon, but yeah.
That's something to expect for the hopefully more than one person listening to this. And we were going to have Ryan Barth on the show today, but he couldn't make it. And that gives me the perfect segue to talk about our brother podcast at Power Sports. Make sure you give that a listen. I was actually on their episode last night. That would be season 3, episode 3. When that comes out, make sure you take a look at it. Subscribe to both mine and his podcast on Podomatic or Apple Podcasts. And Charlie, now we're going to get into the NFL. So, I wake up Saturday morning to an alert on my phone that says Khalil Mack has been traded to the Bears, and I absolutely panic.
Yeah, I woke up to an alert from Sam Fetterman, a text actually, saying, "Wow, can't believe this, Khalil Mack to the Bears," and yeah. I was shocked.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, you're an Eagles fan, and so now Khalil Mack is in the NFC, But here's the thing. The Patriots have to face the Bears this year, and I'm pretty sure that they don't have to face the Raiders, so... So that's unfortunate.
To be honest, I don't think it's that much of a factor. He's great, but the Bears are getting a little overhyped now because of the whole trade. But they're still an below average team with Trubisky still moving forward, but I just don't see them... like beating the Patriots or a team like that.
Oh no,
so I wouldn't worry.
Oh no, I don't see them beating the Patriots, or I don't see them even beating the Packers or Vikings. But the thing is, when you have a guy like Khalil Mack, it puts intimidation factor in your defense, and all of a sudden you're a scary defense.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, like it's getting a little overhyped.
It is
great and all, but it's one player. It's a good defense. A lot of
Roquan
Smith, Eddie Jackson. But, you know, it's just not fully there yet that I would be worried about an amazing defense just yet.
And also they're in the NFC, which makes everything harder. And they also don't have a very good quarterback, which makes everything even harder.
Yeah. You know, he could develop, but I just don't see them fully coming into themselves this early.
And they give up both of their first-round picks each in the next 2 years. So they're probably not going to find themselves a quarterback if Trubisky doesn't develop, unless they take.
Yeah. I agree with that, but you know, if Trubisky does develop, then they have a good future with a good defense and some weapons on offense.
They've given Trubisky the key to the franchise, so I'm not sure if they're going to lose faith in him at any time soon. And their franchise running back, Jordan Howard, what do you see out of him this year? Do you think he can have another great season?
Well, yeah, depending on Trubisky's play, we could see the Bears' weapons really coming out. Howard, Cohen, Allen Robinson, newly signed Trey Burton from the Eagles. Yeah, you know, like, they could all play really well, and I think Howard's going to have a good year. But I just don't think this team is... there yet where, like, they're making the playoffs or anything of that sort.
Now, the Bears had a silently pretty good offseason, but nothing is silent about $141 million, unless it's $135,000 and it's paid in hush money to Stormy Daniels, but there's nothing silent about $141 million going to the new franchise player for the Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack.
Yeah, he definitely deserved that contract, but, you know, as I keep saying, it's might not be worth it, putting all that money towards him, and also giving away the two first-round picks. So I like Mac, but it was not like, it's getting a little too much hype on that deal for the Bears. The Raiders, that's a fine deal with me, I think, because they're starting a rebuild, and that deal, I like it for both teams, but actually a little more for the Raiders.
The issue with Oakland trying to start a rebuild, well, soon to be Vegas, trying to start a rebuild now, is that just 2 years ago, they made the playoffs. They went, 12-4, 11-5, and they're still a team that has a chance at doing something, and now they give up their franchise player, and they still have a quarterback that's going to be making a lot of money, and now they have nothing for this year besides basically, and they released Martavis Bryant too. That happened.
Yeah, so I liked that team, but you know, if you're gonna start rebuilding, you might as well, and if you're gonna start rebuilding, you might as well get rid of Mac there, because you're wasting his talent. If you're gonna, and you might as well get something out of it. And I think they got a good amount out of it with two first round picks. I just didn't like how they also threw in, what was it, a third round pick?
I think it was a third round pick. Let me just confirm. But
I didn't like that. But you know, if you're gonna rebuild, that's a good starting point. But I would have given another year with that team, because they had a good year and then a bad year. This is a year to tell, how they're going to be in the future. But, you know, it's fine with me how they traded, how they handled that situation with Mac.
Let's see. They tossed in a... It was something. It doesn't matter.
Sure it was a third round.
Yeah, and the Bears also received a second-round pick in 2020 and a conditional fifth in 2020. And the Bears also gave up a third in 2020 and a sixth in 2019. And who knows what a sixth-round pick can turn into?
Yeah, we've seen, what was that? Was Tom Brady sixth?
Yeah, sixth-round pick.
What was Sherman, fifth, sixth?
I think Sherman was fifth, sixth, yeah. And Julian Edelman was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, you never know. I like the deal for both teams. I'm going to correct myself. I think the Bears are a rising team. But I just, I don't see it yet. But it was a good deal for both teams. It fits both teams' needs. And the Raiders rebuilding now, and the Bears starting off having a great centerpiece in their defense now.
Yep. More money talk, as money does talk. And remember, Gruden did say that the contract negotiations were just getting too high. Khalil Mack wanted to become the highest paid defensive player, and you know who probably helps him get even more money? Aaron Donald. That is another massive contract. Signed the day before Khalil Mack. $136 million. A lot of it's guaranteed. And I was shocked, and I wasn't shocked when I heard that Donald got a contract extension. I was shocked when I saw how much money it was. Because I think this was the same day. No, this was a few days after the Odell and Aaron Rodgers extensions. A lot of money is being tossed around the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think if Donald didn't get that deal right at that time, that Khalil Mack trade could have not happened. You never know, because maybe since the bar was raised to what Aaron Donald got, Mack could have been asking for more, and that could have resulted in the Raiders trading him. But yeah, Donald deserves every dime of what he got. But yeah, I think that really influenced the Khalil Mack trade.
Yeah, and just take a look at what the Rams did this offseason. They made a lot of moves. They got a lot of players. They also lost a lot of players. Remember, they did get Marcus Peters, but they traded Robert Quinn. They traded Alec Ogletree, and they also traded their first round pick this year, but that didn't.
Yeah.
But that.
I don't like that, because those players are maybe not the most big names, but they are really big players on the defense. And if I don't like that, because if they're just going after big names like Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. I'm not a fan of Aqib Talib personally, but
sense.
No, it's important to keep those kind of guys, but, you know, we'll see what happens with now a big-name defense.
Yeah, and
Aaron Donald.
Ndamukong. They also got Ndamukong Suh this offseason. So even, and of course, they gave up the first-round pick in order to acquire former Patriots wide receiver and the man who got hit hard by Malcolm Jenkins in the Super Bowl, who might still be suffering from that, daysman, whatever. Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Cooks goes back out west, as he, remember, he played his college ball at Oregon State. And the next point that we're going to bring up is there's injuries in football, as you'd expect, and one of them hits right at the heart of your interests. That happened a long time ago against the Rams, Carson Wentz's injury, and Nick Foles has now been announced the week one starter for the game, which will take place in 2 days. Do you think that Foles has what it takes to have another run like he did last year until Wentz gets back?
No, I don't know. I think the preseason isn't going to tell anything, but it's really a toss-up game. He's pretty inconsistent, but when he's on, he's really good and can definitely lead the team to a win over the Falcons and even maybe a few more weeks. But, yeah, I expect that if he plays similar or a little bit worse to what he did in the playoffs, the Eagles shouldn't... the Eagles have a lot of injuries right now, but I wouldn't worry, too much about the first three, four, five weeks of the season. I think the Eagles, at worst, could go 3-2 and 5 because we have the Bucks, the Colts,
Falcons.
So Falcons, Bucks, Colts, Titans, and week 5, I'm not sure, but we've got not too hard of a schedule to start, but you know, Foles can, if he does what he does and he's on our
Vikings.
Team plays well, then I think we can handle that.
Vikings week 5.
Until we get Wentz.
It's Vikings week 5, so if Wentz isn't back by week 5, that could be trouble.
Yeah, you never know with Foles, though. If he doesn't play well, then I don't see us winning over 3 games.
Yeah, they then do hit a little bit of a point in the schedule, where after the Vikings, they do play the Giants, but then they play Panthers, Jaguars, Cowboys, Saints, which is not easy.
Yeah, it's not. The Eagles have a really rough schedule just because of their positioning last year. They have the Saints, the Rams, and the Vikings as the first seed.
And they also have to play against
the hardest division in the AFC, which is the AFC South, which has 3 teams that are very capable of beating the Eagles. And then there's the Colts.
The Colts did actually get their offensive line better this offseason by getting Quentin Nelson. Another team that made their offensive line better, the Giants, they got Nate Solder. And another team that made their offensive line worse would be the New England Patriots by losing Nate Solder. And Isaiah Wynn went down to injury. And we're going to talk a little bit about injuries. And Wynn was taken with the pick that the Rams gave the Patriots. So I'm not exactly sure if... I mean, I wasn't exactly sure how the offensive line was going to be looking. It's going to be looking a lot different than I thought it was going to look, because I thought we'd see Wynn in there a lot. And what I think we're going to see out of the Patriots team is another great season. I think they can run the table in the AFC again. I don't think they can go... I don't think there's a chance that they'll win... that they'll go 16-0. I don't think they'll go 15-1. I think their peak is going to be like 14-2, and they're probably going to go 12-4 again, because they always do that.
Yeah, for the Patriots, I don't see... I feel like they definitely got worse than from last year. But, you know, it's Brady, it's Belichick. You never know what they can do. I agree. 12-4 is probably accurate. I don't see them going 14-2. You know, Brady's getting older, and, you know, there's a lot of drama going on in there. But, yeah, so I think they're still a good team. I don't see them, I just don't see them in the Super Bowl this year, but who knows?
Well, you said drama. That's a perfect segue to Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers, who had a huge offseason, only to see one of the highest-paid running backs in NFL history. I mean, he's a great running back, but he doesn't deserve that much money. Jerick McKinnon, go down with a torn ACL.
Yeah, I agree. He does not deserve all that money. You know, I remember in, 2015 or something, when, AP left, they had, McKinnon and Asiata.
Oh, yeah, Matt Asiata.
And McKinnon beat him out, and he's really good, but, it was a lot of money for him, and it stinks to see him go down.
Honestly, take a look at it. He only started one game last year, for starters.
Yeah. He's good. He's quick.
He's run for 7 touchdowns and 1,900 yards in 4 seasons.
Yeah, well, most of those haven't been starts. And
yeah,
he would have been starting on the Niners.
Yeah, well, what about with Carlos Hyde on that team? Hyde probably would have started, but...
Hyde is on the Browns now.
Yeah, I know. I said started, as in past tense, because you said he would have started.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think you used past tense, so I used past tense. Speaking of Carlos Hyde and the Browns, the Browns somehow beat the Eagles 5-0 in the preseason, which is...
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
First of all, what's more surprising, the score or the fact that the Browns beat the Eagles?
The score.
Yeah, certainly. SB Nation, Scoregami, all that's... That... I was what the heck when that happened? And let's talk about some cuts. The Cowboys cut kicker Dan Bailey.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I mean, he's been with them for a while, and he's been very consistent. Fifth kicker in scoring for the past. I saw something. Might have been 8 years. Fifth scoring kicker.
Yeah, he's
great.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of other cuts in the NFL. A lot of people get cut. But that's it happens every season. So I'm going to go on BleacherReport.com and I want you to go there too so we can read off some of the big cuts.
All right.
I'm going to start off with the Arizona Cardinals who cut Scooby Wright, who was very good in college but he was a 7th round pick. And he only played 10 games last year as a sophomore. They also cut Bryce Butler and Greg Little, after Larry Fitzgerald, there's not much depth at that position.
Yeah, I'm just getting on the Bleacher Report now, so. Is there a link?
Yeah, just biggest takeaways from every NFL team's roster cuts. And you want to alternate through the teams?
Yeah, let me find it.
You want to take
my computer's kind of slow.
All right, that's all right. I'll go until you're ready.
All right.
The Atlanta Falcons cut Austin Pastore, despite him being the veteran and to be ready for. And despite him being a veteran, and they have the project in Gono behind him.
Yeah, I'm getting on to that.
And they also have, but Gono will actually play more, and he'll back up Ryan Schrader. But the team saves a little more than $500,000. They also cut Sean Harlow to cut more people on the offensive line. He was a 4th round pick last year. And they kept undrafted rookies Richard Jarvis and Justin Zimmer for the front 7. You want to take the Ravens?
Yeah, I'm still looking for the article. Is there a certain name?
Is there a certain what?
Name of the article?
It's biggest takeaways from every NFL team's roster cuts on Bleacher Report. The headline for the Ravens is wide receiver group is no longer a horror show, as they did get Michael Crabtree and Willie Snead this offseason. They also got John Brown in free agency.
I'm on it now.
All right, so you want to take the Ravens?
Okay, Baltimore Ravens.
Don't like, read it. Just, like, somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, so they cut Albert McClellan, linebacker. Okay. I haven't heard of any of these guys.
Yeah, they also cut... And it looks like they also cut first-round pick in 2015, Breshad Perriman.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Let's take the Bills as just after trading for Corey Coleman, they cut Corey Coleman. They also traded AJ McCarron, so they should just delete their franchise because they're gonna start Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, I was surprised by that move. You know, it must mean that Allen's not ready, or he's just not good enough.
I mean, I'm
pretty sure Peterman had a good preseason.
He had a phenomenal preseason, but even though Allen's a project, you knew what you were getting into when you took him, and you knew how thin your team was, aside from Allen, you have zero other quarterbacks on that roster. You have someone that is listed as a quarterback, but is more of an is the quarterback of the defense.
Yeah.
That being Peterman. They cut Nick O'Leary, who actually, tight end Nick O'Leary, remember the old Florida State man, 322 receiving yards last year, and they also cut the veteran running back Travaris Cadet. Let's go to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, so, you know, they cut Kenyon Barner, who was a former Eagle. He was a great return man, and he even got into the running back mix a little bit, scored a few touchdowns. I'm surprised he didn't make that team. You know, McCaffrey's running back there. Who else do they have?
They lost Jonathan Stewart, and remember, Stewart always had D'Angelo Williams on that team with him. He's in Pittsburgh, so
I was surprised. Barner got cut. He pretty much, he was behind Ajayi, Clement, and Blount last year on the Eagles. But, you know, he got in the mix. But, you know, I was surprised he didn't make that team.
They've got C.J. Anderson and Cameron Artis Payne. So, yeah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's fine.
But Anderson's not the player that he was.
Yeah. They also cut wide receiver Moe Frazier. He scored 5 touchdowns in the preseason, which is great.
And their wide receiving core is former Eagle Torrey Smith, Devin Funchess, Jarius Wright, DJ Moore, first round draft pick, Curtis Samuel, and Demir Byrd.
Yeah, I really like that wide receivers core. You know, especially with Cam Newton. They've got some good weapons on that team. That's why I have them.
They do, and especially with tight end Greg Olsen, G Reg with his third leg. It's a do-or-die year for Ron Rivera. And speaking of do-or-die, it is definitely not do-or-die yet for the Chicago Bears. And they released 2017 fifth-round draft pick Jordan Morgan. It's kind of a name that looks cooler on paper than it does actually said in out loud. So James Daniels will be the only backup for Eric Kush. And so it looks like they also, yeah, of course nobody is paying much attention to any of that because OMG Khalil Mack. They also cut Doran Grant, they kept Marcus Cooper, and that whole Khalil Mack thing. Bleacher Report, though.
All right, now on to the Bengals. I really like Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. They got paid. That was a little under the radar. Yeah, so they released veteran Ryan Hewitt. He was on the roster for 4 years. He was a running back. I remember that name. Not relevant though. Yeah. You know, you have Joe Mixon coming up.
Especially with a guy like Mixon and Giovanni Bernard behind him, they're pretty solid at running back. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns, who cut Sean Coleman. Well, no, they didn't, but they traded into the 49ers. And, of course, they cut Jeff Janis, former Green Bay Packer return man and wide receiver. They cut Devon Kajusti, who was actually heavily featured on Hard Knocks. I actually didn't watch Hard Knocks. Did you?
No, I watched one episode at camp, but that's it.
I haven't really watched Hard Knocks at all. They also cut Nate Orchard. Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the worst team in the NFL here. You know, Coney Ealy, I remember, was on Carolina. He was a good player, and he got cut by the Cowboys. And they also cut wide receiver Deontay Thompson, who he got a $1 million signing bonus earlier this offseason. But, you know, I like that wide receiver core actually this year with Allen Hurns.
Yeah, and Williams. Despite no Dez Bryant, but they did keep a tight end, Rico Gathers, despite him being arrested with marijuana possession.
No surprise there.
Yeah, because the Cowboys have kept people that have been charged with stuff like that, and they've also cut people who've been charged with stuff like that. Lucky Whitehead.
Yeah. All right, now onto the Broncos, Sam.
All right, so I'll do the Broncos here. They actually cut 2016 first-round pick Paxton Lynch. It just makes no sense why they would cut a former first-round pick. Oh, wait, they have Case Keenum. But their backup would be Chad Kelly, who despite playing much better in camp in the preseason than Lynch, I wouldn't give up on a first-round pick quarterback this early in his career. They also cut Carlos Henderson and D'Angelo Henderson, a lot of Hendersons. They also cut Isaiah McKenzie and Cyrus Kwanjo. God, Kwanjo was he was really good in college. Let's move on to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, so T's Tabor from Florida. You know, the Lions really earned him this year. So they kept running back Amir Abdullah. Not too much of a surprise, but he was on the bubble. He beat out Dwayne Washington and Zach Zenner, who went out on injury reserve.
Zenner was one of those, like, three-game wonders.
Yeah, and they kept six receivers this year, including an undrafted rookie, Brandon Powell. And they did cut defensive tackle Jeremiah Ledbetter, a sixth-round pick last year. But, you know, he didn't make it on the team this year. Packers.
Nearly a fifth of Green Bay's active roster will be wide receivers. Eight of their 53 men are receivers. And so, that's a lot of them.
Yeah, it is.
They didn't cut that many of them. They did cut D'Angelo Yancey, though. Let's move.
Speaking of wide receivers, I know this is a little off topic, but the Eagles are going into Thursday with, this is their wide receiver core, Nelson Aguilar, Mike Wallace, Shelton Gibson, and DeAndre Carter, who was, he just made it onto the roster on the bubble. So, not very confident with that core. But we have Zach Ertz.
I'm definitely not confident in the Patriots wide receiver. I think it's Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, Edelman's being suspended, Berrios on the IR. It's not very good. All right, let's move on. We're going to do this a little quicker. We've got the Houston Texans.
Yeah, so the Texans, they cut Shane Leckler, who was their punter. They cut Joe Webb, which was their quarterback, and Brandon Whedon is now their only backup for Watson. And Deonta Foreman, I really liked him last year, was placed on the physically unable to perform list as he eases back from a torn Achilles. Now Colts.
The Indianapolis. Oh, yeah. Did we mention Braxton Miller there?
No.
Braxton Miller. Remember the spin move god.
Yeah.
Well, the Colts. Not much is interesting at all with the Colts at this point. We're really going to move on because there's nothing. Because really, the Colts don't matter this year.
Yeah, they don't. All right, now Jaguars.
The Jaguars didn't really do anything interesting either.
They're not. Yeah, nothing really relevant to how the team's going to do this year. We have the Chiefs. You know, didn't do much either.
They cut David Amerson, who was a star in college. He was also decent in the NFL.
Yeah, with Oakland. And,
cut former Michigan man, Jay Uchesson.
Yeah, Roberto Aguayo for the Chargers, he didn't make it.
Yeah, I know that. He didn't make a lot of field goals either.
Yeah.
Neither does his brother.
They kept Cardale Jones.
Ohio State. The Ohio State University.
Yeah, now the other LA team, the better one.
For sure.
The Rams didn't do much, but they did keep four running backs as insurance for Gurley.
Gurley was my first overall draft pick in fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the Miami Dolphins, who seemingly are still unsure about their quarterbacks because they have Tannehill and Brock Osweiler and the former San Jose State quarterback David Fales. Osweiler is not on that massive contract, and other things they did, they cut Tony Lippett, Gavin Escobar, and Terrence Garvin, Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm in Minnesota. Wait, I lost it. If you want, you could do Minnesota.
All right, Minnesota. Minnesota released Brian Robinson. Minnesota, they got, Terrence Newman retired. They cut Kendall Wright and Kobe Gossett. I'm gonna do the Patriots. We're just gonna do these really quickly. The Patriots cut Mike Gillisley, and the Saints signed him. The Patriots. Oh yeah, it's a Hogan, Dorsett, and Patterson. Those are the receivers. Okay, so those are the receivers, and we're just gonna gloss over to the teams that actually are interesting in this scenario. The Giants, they actually kept four quarterbacks. You wanna talk about that?
They have Davis Webb, Manning, Kyle Lauletta, and Alex Tanny. Manning's gonna start.
Of course he will. I mean, I went to the Giants' last preseason game when they played against the Patriots, and it did not look good for either Lauletta or Tanny, who both played. They also cut Roger Lewis and Mark Herzlek, who I call Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, now the Jets...
I love this picture.
Good team.
Really? Good team? Jets don't work together.
They cut Rawls. That's pretty much it. That's important for the Raiders.
Hold on. Whoa. They also cut former UConn Husky Kendall Reyes. Move on to the Raiders.
Yeah, so for the Raiders, they cut Connor Cook, and then they got AJ McCarron in the trade. And then that means that EJ Manuel got released. That whole Khalil Mack thing, of course.
Yeah.
And they also cut Mario Edwards Jr., who recorded 3.5 sacks in 14 starts last season. Now I'll take the Eagles here.
All right. You can do this.
Yeah, they cut Donnell Pumphrey, who just signed with the Lions. He was a little disappointing with some injuries. They also cut Josh Adams.
Rookie.
He was running back. He got some action in August, but, you know, the battle for the fourth running back position went to Wendell Smallwood. And they cut Joe Callahan, and Christian Hackenberg, which were obvious choices, leaving Nick Foles and Sudfeld behind Wentz when he returns.
When you throw over 300 yards in the preseason, you're probably going to be on the roster, even though it's the preseason. Yeah. The Steelers did keep three quarterbacks, but they did release Landry Jones, who was the only backup quarterback on that roster with a NFL pass attempt. He started the game against the Patriots when Roethlisberger was injured. They cut Fitzgerald Toussaint, and they put Eli Rogers on a PUP list. 49ers.
All right, so for the 49ers,
they released...
They released
Jeremiah Tatu.
Too much. Really not do much besides McKinnon going down.
They cut Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks. They got Deion Jordan back, but they lost Byron Maxwell to injured reserve. They cut Maurice Alexander too. And honestly, they didn't do that much.
Yeah. So for the Bucks, they cut second-year receiver Bobo Wilson, who was good in the preseason finale, but couldn't make the team. And they kept undrafted rookie running back Sean Wilson as Ronald Jones struggled this summer.
Yeah, his fantasy stock went from like 40 to 120. It was crazy.
Yeah, now for the Titans.
Tennessee cut Luke Falk, which might not be smart because now they're only back up to is Blaine Gabbert. They cut Xavier Suafilo and Akram Wadley. So of course their top two running backs will be Henry and Lewis. No one is surprised there. And Darius Geis, who went down with an injury, will still be on the team, but he won't be on the roster. So you'll see Adrian Peterson, Rob Kelly, Samaje Perine, and Chris Thompson being their running backs.
All right, so that's it for every team and their notable cuts this year.
All right, so why don't we talk a little bit about week one?
Yeah, so let's open up the list of games we got. We'll go through every one, and
I think we can do a little more than that.
Oh, okay.
Let's go NFL scores. And, of course, we're going to start with a game that's going to be, looks like it's going to be played in 92 degree heat, according to ESPN and AccuWeather. Falcons and Eagles.
Oh, that's going to be hot.
I don't understand how it could be 92. It's going to be an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's 92 now.
Probably.
Let's see what AccuWeather.com says.
Anyway, so yeah, this should be a good game. You know, Atlanta's a strong team. The Eagles are, you know.
No, it's 92 right now.
The Eagles are injury plagued coming into this, but you know, you never know what happens. Both these teams are good.
All right, so what are your keys to the game for each team, for Philly?
For Philly, it's going to be key to get the running game going, especially with Ajayi and Clement. And special teams should be a big factor.
It'll be around
making sure our defensive backs step up is really important because they've been very inconsistent.
Yeah.
And for our front line's going to show up.
And especially with the newly acquired Michael Bennett. And for Atlanta, a key to the game, and not only the game but the season, is to get Julio Jones going. They really couldn't get him going that much last year, and they suffered. They didn't win the division last year. Matt Ryan's got to be good. That defense has to be strong. And we're going to move on to the next game, which on my ESPN, of course, is Texans-Patriots, because I'm a Patriots fan, and the Patriots show up first. That'll be played at Gillette on 1 o'clock Sunday on CBS. Texans, keys to the game, Charlie?
Texans against New England?
Yes.
We're going to need to see some of Watson going here. They're running game, too, but, you know, Watson's going to have to step up.
I think
but their defense, it's a pretty good defense, but
I think that the main keys for the Patriots are going to be to make sure that DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller are mostly non-factors, because taking away Watson's top two targets can take away a lot of what Watson's arm does. And Lamar Miller, who you know is not going to have a phenomenal game, but he's not going to have a bad game. He'll be having around 70 to 80 yards. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, let's go in order of games, though. So
yeah, that's what we're doing.
On my thing, it goes the Eagles game, then Pittsburgh-Cleveland.
Well, on my thing, the Patriots come first. Then let's go Pittsburgh-Cleveland. Oh, yeah, wait, we forgot to make some predictions. Falcons-Eagles, the spread is Philly is -2. What do you think?
I got the Eagles. I think the Eagles will take the beat the Falcons.
Yeah, I think they'll cover. New England's 6.5 point favorites over Houston. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll cover. You know, Houston's not the best team. I think they're a little overhyped, in my opinion. I think they're good, but I think the Titans are just a little better.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think New England's going to win, but I think it's going to be by 4 or 5 points. I'm going to take the Texans for the spread.
All right.
Steelers and Browns, Pittsburgh 3.5-point favorites. First, let's start with keys to the game. I'm going to start with Cleveland's keys. Well, Cleveland's keys lie in the hands of the fact of that they need their newly acquired players like Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry to perform. They need Demarius Randle to perform. They need Denzel Ward, the cornerback, to be able to play well. They need to make sure that they're playing defense. They need to make sure that Antonio Brown's not going to have a massive game. Either that, or they need to make sure that no one else is having a massive game.
Yeah, so for the Steelers, I just think that this drama needs to end by the game. Bell is going to have to play. That's important.
I just think that the Steelers can't overlook the Browns. 3.5-point favorites, who are you taking?
You know, I've got the Steelers.
Same. Covering. Same. Yeah. Indianapolis, Cincinnati. We're not going to talk about this one.
Yeah, we'll just see. Is there a spread for it?
Three-point favorites are the Colts. I think the Bengals are going to win.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. The Bengals have a stronger defense.
Tennessee, they're 1.5-point favorites against Miami.
Tennessee's covering that.
And we're going to do some keys to the game because that game is actually worth talking about. It's being played at Hard Rock on Fox for some reason.
Yeah, I got a keys to the game for Tennessee is making sure that defense shows up. This isn't the strongest offense we've seen. And those defensive backs with Byard, and you also have in the front Jarrell Casey.
Malcolm Butler.
It's a good defense there, and if they step up, we could see an easy win, in my opinion.
And I'm going to do the keys to the game for the Dolphins. I think the main keys for Miami are going to be basically make sure that Kenyon Drake is not a fluke. Make sure that Ryan Tannehill can stay on the field. Tennessee covers.
Yeah, definitely.
49ers Vikings from Minneapolis. The Vikings are 6-point favorites over the new look Niners. You want to take the Niners keys or the Vikings keys?
I'll take Niners.
All right.
It'll be important to get that running game going. It's a good defense you're facing, but you know you have Alfred Morris, you have Asiata, right?
For San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they have Asiata, but I don't think he matters in the first place.
No, but he actually, let me see.
He is currently a free agent.
Oh, okay, someone else is on the Niners.
And he never played for San Francisco.
And I know it's someone else. Okay, Matt Breida.
Yes, I think that's it.
Alfred Morris and Matt Breida. So, they're going to have to step up, and Garoppolo will too. This is like, he's only played, what, six games?
Seven. Well, 6.5 because he got injured in the one of them.
And a few of them, it was like against the Rams, like second string players. So he's still have to prove himself to me.
I'll take the Vikings keys to the game. Key to the game for the Vikings, I think, is to show Jimmy Garoppolo something he's never seen. It's that simple.
Yeah, and I think they will. The Vikings will cover.
I just think that they can't turn the ball over, and I think the Vikings will cover. Here's one. The Saints are 9.5-point favorites against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm gonna take the Bucs keys to the game, and I really don't know how many things need to go right for that team, especially with the suspension to starting quarterback Jameis Winston. They really need Fitzpatrick to play well. They need 2016 Fitzpatrick. They need a big time performance out of this team. They need everyone to play well. They need Ronald Jones to play well. They need their defense to step up. I really don't see much of a chance that they can win this game.
Yeah, I see this being a high-scoring game. For the Saints, the key is, like, don't let any big plays happen for the Bucs. Like, nothing.
For Mike Evans.
Make it a game where you're in control and they're not doing anything crazy.
Now,
where they could come back and win.
Now, here's the question. Do the Saints cover the 9.5-point spread?
I don't think so. I think they win single digits.
I think they win by 17. So I think right here we have one of the more obvious picks of the week. Jacksonville, they're only 3-point favorites over the New York Football Giants. You want to take the Jaguars' keys to the game?
Yeah, the Jaguars' keys are, make sure the defense comes out like they always have, especially last year. They're going to need to stop Barkley, Odell. This Giants offense shouldn't be overlooked. It's not horrible, but it's not great. I don't see it being a blowout, but I don't see it being within 3 points, so I've got Jacksonville covering.
Now, the New York Football Giants, they now have a running back, and I think the key to the game is going to be to take pressure off of Eli Manning with Saquon Barkley. I mean, it's a very tough first test against the best defense in the NFL. Jacksonville covers the spread. Bills, Ravens, another 1 o'clock game on CBS. And so this one being played in Baltimore, the Ravens 7-point favorites against the Petermans.
Yeah, I'll take the Ravens' keys. The key is really just put pressure on Peterman in that offense. I don't think it's a good offense at all. And they should be able to stop them with that great defense. And you're going to need whoever's starting, you know, who's starting with them, Flacco.
Of course it's Flacco, yeah. They're not ready to put Jackson in.
Yeah, we're just going to have Flacco be consistent with and, who he has on the team.
I think the key to the game for Buffalo is to play Josh Allen the entire game. Baltimore covers. Finally, on to the 4 o'clock games. Chiefs-Chargers. It's a brutal road game at the StubHub Center for the Chargers. They're 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll take the Chargers. Alright, I'll take Kansas City then.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're gonna have to Andy Reid, that team. The defense gonna have to step up, of course, but I need to see Kareem Hunt back to his early last year self.
His against the Patriots self. And I'm gonna take some Chargers keys to the game. I think the main key for LA is to keep Phillip Rivers efficient. When he's efficient, they can win ball games because they have a strong defense. I think the Chargers actually do win by more than 3.5 points.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I'm gonna take Kansas City covering.
Okay. So, and then let's talk some Seattle and Denver, some Super Bowl 48 rematch. God, that was actually a really long time ago.
Yeah.
And so, who's going to win this game? And just, we're not really going to do keys because we're running out of time here.
Yeah, so I've got Seattle. You know, both teams are really falling.
It's Denver are 3-point favorites. Denver's 3-point favorites.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think Seattle,
yeah, I completely agree.
Decent amount. It's not a good team, but they'll win by like 7-10.
Brian's team, the Washington Redskins, are facing off with the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's 1-point favorites at home.
Yeah, I don't. Both teams are like just average. Nothing like special coming in. Neither are gonna make the playoffs, but you know David Johnson's gonna have to step up in this game. But Washington's always a good team and they can win. So I'm gonna say that the Cardinals don't cover.
All right, I think that the Cardinals will win this game by they will win by more than 1 point.
Yeah, I just don't see it yet with that team.
Dallas, Carolina 3-point favorites.
Yeah, Carolina will win this game, but Dallas is a good team. Both of them are. Could both make the playoffs. I had Dallas in my predictions, but I don't know about it anymore. But I think Carolina will cover.
I have Dallas winning. Chicago and Green Bay. Green Bay 7.5-point favorites. I think Green Bay were 9.5-point favorites before Khalil Mack. Do you think Khalil Mack adds 2 points? And do you think that what I mean by that is not a safety, but do you think Khalil Mack makes it a closer game by 2 points? Or do you think the Green Bay still runs away with it 7.5-point favorites?
Green Bay is still going to win by 7-10, in my opinion.
So do you think they cover?
Have this new team, and their week one are not going to come out and beat or lose by less than 7 to the Green Bay Packers.
All right, so that is the game on Sunday night. We got two more to go through, and then I'm gonna say bye to Charlie we're gonna go to some questions from Instagram.
Yep. All right. So we have New York versus Detroit. This is at Ford Field.
Detroit 6.5-point favorites.
Yeah. So I got Detroit in this game, just because I like what New York's doing, but you know, again, it's week one. Just the better team is gonna win this game, and that's Detroit right now.
All right, Rams and Raiders. Rams 4-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, the Rams will take this. Oakland is,
agreed.
As I said, rebuilding.
Oakland's in a rebuild. I think the Rams win by more than 4 points. All right, so we're going to thank Charlie Cooper for being on the show today. And
thank you. And
you'll be back on the show sometime soon, talking, be it being NBA, be it NFL, be it college sports, or be it on the Fantasy Football Podcast, The Commish. You could even be on the 4-seam fastball or sticks in the middle. Who knows? You could be on any of them. Thanks for joining us.
Thank
you. Bye. See ya. So thank you to Charlie Cooper for being on the show today. And we're going to respond to some questions from Instagram. David Rosen from Camp Tuckahoe asks me, who do you see being the most productive fantasy football player this year? Now, so I will answer this question, but for future reference, David Rosen and the rest of you listening, when I ask for questions for the Any Given Sunday podcast, don't make it be about fantasy football, because we have a separate podcast for fantasy sports, The Commish. All right, and David, my answer is I think Todd Gurley will be the number one fantasy player this year. Most people will say Le'Veon Bell. I say Gurley, and if you've listened to some of my podcasts, you know that it's basically just a gut feeling. And from Melissa, she asks, how do you feel about Colin Kaepernick's deal with Nike and all the backlash following it? That is a phenomenal question, I believe. And I believe that one of the things that this... Yeah, only two questions. And I believe that one of the things you can see in this... Now, this will probably become like a long conversation. But Colin Kaepernick's deal with Nike, I'm totally fine with it. I don't think that he did it for the money. Jason Whitlock says, oh, he kneeled for the money. I'm like, no, he kneeled because he was protesting. It's fine if you're protesting something. Speak out for what you believe in. In America, that's okay. You have the freedom of speech. You have the freedom of assembly. All the other freedoms that you have. Freedom of religion. Well, I don't think that has much to do with this thing. And the one thing I don't like about Kaepernick is his hair. Just come on, man. That's just too much hair. And I don't want this to turn into a long political conversation, but Nike is clearly showing their opposition to Donald Trump. And that's Nike's choice. Trump likely will win a second term because there's not many Democrats out there because the left is in pieces right now. The Democrats are likely unable to find a candidate that can bring them all together. So we likely will see another 4 years of Trump after this. So Nike's gonna have to deal with the endless tweets from Donald Trump for the next. You know what? Let's see what did Trump say about this? He must have said something. They can't just ignore it. He said, absolutely, I don't think he said anything. He said nothing, I don't think. No, he hasn't said anything. That's incredible. Did he really retweet Make America Great Again in all caps on September 1st? Okay, let's not make this political, but Trump is going to oppose this. You're going to hear it in his tweet. And I'm fine with it. A lot of people are going to be fine with it. A lot of people aren't fine with it. The backlash, I think, is completely undeserved because At this point, he's living off the effects of a decision that he made a long time ago, and you can't say that it was the wrong. And you can't say that it was the wrong decision because he was standing, he was sitting down for what he believed in. And to avoid making this even more political, I'm gonna cut myself off right here. And we're gonna end this show. We're gonna thank Charlie Cooper for joining us, and thanking Melissa and David for sending in questions. Hopefully more people can send in questions when I ask for them next time. I'm also going to post on Instagram right now for some questions on tonight's NBA, the Deep Three. We're gonna be joined by Isaac Fleischer all the way from Florida. Long distance call is gonna, it's not gonna, they're not gonna be ha- parents aren't gonna be happy that I'm making a long distance call for that long. So I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Any Given Sunday. I want you to stay on the lookout for the SSN podcast logos. I want you to stay on the lookout for new episodes from Power Sports that I may or may not be involved with. And I want you to stay classy. I'm not Ron Burgundy, so I'm not going to end on that. And I want you to just have fun for the rest of your day. Make sure that if you like this podcast, just look out for more episodes. If you don't, look out for new episodes to not listen to. I don't know. Listen to as many episodes as you want. This is a completely optional thing, and I would like to thank you for tuning in and staying with me for this long. Thank you for listening to Sam Sports Network's Any Given Sunday. This has been Sam Fetterman.